Hi there.
Hi, this is Tim O'Reilly.
Cool. Okay. So, let's get this started, the recording. I stumbled on this story that you wrote in your blog. That's actually some time ago. You told us you had this Google Goggles test version, which was able to recognize faces. So I'm interested in this because this is something I'm quite sure Google is never going to release publicly because otherwise, yeah, I think they're going to have a lot of problems. But you wrote.
Oh, see, I don't agree with that.
Okay, so maybe you explain. I ask you something. What was the taste of future? Because you wrote that. What was the taste of future you had while testing Google Goggles with face recognition?
Well, yeah, I really believe that augmented reality applications are the really beginning of the next wave of computer interfaces. When you use on a phone an application, that shows you based on your location the nearest restaurant or what's around the corner or the nearest bus stop. There's all these applications for the phone today. I think this is just a precursor to heads-up displays, maybe using special eyeglasses or whatever, where we're going to be able to on demand call up information that's relevant to where we are, what we're seeing. And Google Goggles is really a first taste of this. It's not it's not perfect. Like so many of these things, it's just the beginning, but it shows what's possible. Now, Google decided, I think when Vic Gundotra announced this at Google I/O, or whatever show it was that he announced it, he mentioned that they had face recognition in the beta version, but then they took it out. They took it out because of they took it out because of privacy concerns. But I really think that it will be commonplace to have this kind of experience because it's just so useful. There are so many times, for example, when you meet somebody and you go, "Oh my gosh, where did I see that person before?" Or they introduce themselves to you and you say, "Oh, what was their name? I'm supposed to know them." And that kind of application, it's not going to come from Google first, even though they could do it, because Google has too much at risk in the way of backlash. But I think there are going to be startups. For example, there's a little startup called Recognizer, REC. So I think it's just going to become commonplace. And part, a lot of what this tells us about this Web 2.0 future is really that these applications are data intensive. And it's kind of interesting because the future that we see is a future of cloud applications that are being delivered by mobile. The maps aren't on your phone when you use, say, Google Maps for the phone. The directions aren't on your phone. They're being generated by a cloud app. And one of the so location-based applications are fairly well developed, and we're already seeing the shape of the future there. But social apps, I think, are another huge repository of data that's being collected online, and that we're going to find new uses for it. And augmented reality is one of those classes of useful application, where it's just going to be, who is that person? Where have I seen them before? We already see this, for example, in not with face recognition, but with say an application like Foursquare, you'll see, are any of your friends nearby? This is just the next level of that kind of application.
There's this age of post-privacy. Mark Zuckerberg was reflecting on that as well, and he said, times have changed. So, do you think it's going to be normal for people to sit in the bus or so and just always being aware of anyone could take a picture of me and recognize who I am, look at my Twitter page, my Facebook, my Xing profile, and all these things?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is going to be commonplace. In some ways, it's the democratization of celebrity. There are a lot of people who have that experience today, or a small number of people who have that experience today. They can't go out without being recognized. And I think it's going to become increasingly common, and we'll get used to it. Just think how odd it was a dozen years ago, the idea that you could call somebody wherever they are. you know, and you'd see people standing on the street corner apparently talking to thin air, and it seemed really odd. And now it doesn't, because we're used to it.
Do you think that, like Recognizer, this is based on opt-in, so you can register your face and then it will be like recognized by Recognizer. But do you think this is going to work on a opt-out base as well?
I think eventually, yes. I think in the short term, it will be opt-in. But I think as you know, what Mark said about we're in a post-privacy era, this is going to become increasingly commonplace. That people say, oh, it's just so useful. Because again, think about your location. That's very sensitive private data too. And yet people are sharing it fairly commonly. And there's certainly going to be some well-publicized problems where somebody, you know, there's already an application that says, hey, I'm not at home. Go rob, I think it's called Rob Me, you know, which is kind of somebody who's trying to demonstrate.
How was that moment when you got like a demonstration of Google goggles with face recognition?
Well, it was, you know, it was something I had talked about and written about and expected, and it was still pretty wonderful to have Vic hold the camera up to me, shoot my picture, and then it's he turns the phone around and it says that's Tim O'Reilly, and it, you know, looks up additional information about me.
It's crazy.
So it was really kind of the idea that, as I said, I had written a blog post that this was, you know, one of the next things to happen, but then you actually have it demonstrated. It was very impressive.
Did this work on a Google web search base? Because you can search Google for faces, and do they use these like image repositories? Or,
I think they have obviously a lot of image data. I think the picture it found the match from was on Flickr, though, not in Google's databases. But yeah, it does a search, just like any of the other Google Goggles applications. You know, you look at a wine bottle and it does a search and it tries to recognize it. And I would bet, you know, that it doesn't work as well as it worked for me for any random face. I'm, you know, a fairly public person with lots of photos of me. So they have a lot of data to work from. But again, that goes back to this idea that it's a taste of the future. So many of these applications are of the nature that they get better the more data they have. And so today they don't work so well. Next year they'll work better. The year after they'll work better again. And at some point they just get good enough that everybody comes to rely on them. I think speech recognition is in that category. Automatic translation is in that category.
In Germany, currently, there's a discussion on going on Street View, Google Street View, something that has existed in the U.S. since a long time already. But now there's like some politicians, they say, this is not okay, Google, you must not take pictures of all the houses. And now Google is developing a system for house owners to opt out. Like everyone can register there and say, this is my house, and you can opt out there. So his house won't be published on Google Street View. They demonstrated this at CeBIT, this big trade fair here. Do you think there's a different approach on privacy issues in the US and in Europe?
Well, certainly there's a heightened awareness of priority of privacy in Europe. And again, you might say in continental Europe, because look at the UK. UK is the surveillance camera capital of the world. But I would just say that in general, I believe that people will adapt. Because one of the things, of course, is that the more photos there are, the more public information there is, the less time there is to pay attention to all of it. And so it stops being sensational and it starts just being useful, because you only go to it when you need it. You know, I'm not going to be on the bus looking around saying, who's that, who's that, who's that? I'm going to use it in this use case that I mentioned, where, for example, you meet somebody, and you're embarrassed because you can't remember their name, you know, and you're gonna go, oh, phew, you know, yes, thank you so much. This Moritz Metz, we talked on the, you know, on Skype, you know, or whatever. We're not using video, you know, because you'll get that augmentation, because you know, a lot of what this is about is augmentation. You know, when you have a right now in today's state of the art, when you have a phone and it knows where you are and it can tell you there's a laundromat around the corner, a coffee shop is two blocks away, that's an augmentation. And when you are saying, who are these people that I'm seeing? That's an augmentation as well, and it's going to be useful enough that I think people will find their way to use it judiciously. But there may also be, cases where people say, "I want to be opted out." And certainly you won't get answers if there aren't already public photos. Because that's the other thing about this. I mean, it only works if there are public photos to do a match against.
But this does impact the ability that you can choose every picture on the internet to disappear, which is not really possible.
That's right. But I mean, again, though, if you're very concerned about privacy, you're not necessarily going to be
publish pictures anyway. Yeah, okay, yeah, that's right. So last question, do you think this is going to let us lose some abilities? That's kind of, that's a cultural pessimistic question as well. People who have iPhones, they tend to forget, Trivial Pursuit, this game? There was a quiz game, popular in the 80s, 90s. Do you know it?
No, I don't.
It's like small cards with all sorts of questions.
Oh, yeah,
Pope elected and all these things. And I was playing this with friends, and that really felt like a taste of the past, because it was so...
The idea
why should I remember when the first pope was elected or things like that?
You can look that it was up. Really, yeah, exactly.
It felt strange to me. I could always look it up, but if we are able to always look up things, we kind of lose the ability of remembering things because it's not necessary anymore. So how is this going to change people?
Mm-hmm. I think this has always happened. I remember, a great case to look is in the opening of Guns, Germs, and Steel. I don't know if you've read that book, but by Jared Diamond, in which it's sort of an exploration of why Western civilization, became so dominant. And in the beginning, there's a little prologue called Yaley's Question. And Yaley is this guy from New Guinea, and he says, "How come you guys have all the stuff? You're so stupid. I could take you into the jungle and you'd be dead in 3 days." And we're incredibly stupid relative to certain cultures, and yet we learned something new. When we became literate, we lost the ability to have prodigious feats of memory for the most part. When we we're becoming more nearsighted, there's many people who can't our great athletes are probably equivalent to some of the normal physical condition of people of the past, we're gonna lose things and we're gonna gain things.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, that was really good having you on the show. I'm gonna put online basically the whole interview, and we're gonna broadcast parts of it and translate it. That's okay.
Okay, excellent.